Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, unfortunately, another week and another fundamentalist Muslim attack on the West there in London Saturday night. And, you know, it was just a Saturday evening. You know, we were hanging out with some friends, and next thing you know, you start seeing stuff on your phone and social media starts lighting up. And there you go. Once again, London attackers, the same basic start as last time. You go, well, when was that last time? It wasn't that long ago, March 22nd, the Westminster Bridge attack. Five people, including a London police officer who was stabbed and the perpetrator, were killed in a terror attack. More than 40 people were injured. That was just a couple months ago, March 22nd, and now we have Saturday night's attack. They named two of the attackers, Khurram Shahzad Butt, who's 27, and Rashid Redouan, who's 30. Two of the men shot dead by police during the Saturday rampage. So they rammed the crowd by the bridge, and then they went into another area where there's a bunch of restaurants and stuff, got out literally with knives and started stabbing people and slashing people's throats. I mean, this is insanity at a whole new level. It just keeps expanding. And is the West winning the war against terror? I've got an article today by Pete Hoekstra, former member of Congress who was what committee he was on? He was a chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He wrote a piece on Fox News, Time for Honesty, about London. We are losing the fight against radical Islam. And then, of course, President Trump over the weekend made several comments, and it hit controversy, as he always does with Twitter, coming out with some comments about the London mayor. I'll play the clip of that so you can judge for yourself whether you think the president was accurate or not, or took something out of context. I think it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's not so clear. But largely, I think anytime a mayor on the heels of that says that, you know, there's nothing to be concerned about, no reason to be alarmed, even in the context of his statement, which I'll play for you, that's still a ridiculous statement. a bunch of people got hit by a van on the London Bridge, and then a few minutes later at a hot spot in town, three fundamentalist Muslims jump out with knives and start slashing people. If you're not alarmed by that, you're an idiot. So, I mean, I don't know where that comes from with the London mayor. What's his name? Sadiq Khan, who was elected last year, but a year ago in May of 2016. So we'll get into all of that. And then I want to play some of Theresa May's comments. Many of the things that she's getting tougher with some very non-politically correct ideas there. In Great Britain, and I want to play her comments for you and see what you think about that. But plenty of things to talk about. Unfortunately, not really any uplifting news today. We will do a Money Monday update at the end of the show, but I will be traveling on Thursday. I'll be traveling to Phoenix, so we'll be live from University of Phoenix Stadium, where the Phoenix Cardinals play football, professional football, on Friday. And then we have Harvest America down there with Pastor Greg Laurie on Sunday. Then I'll be broadcasting from Phoenix on Monday and Tuesday, and then flying back next Wednesday. So you'll be on the road with me, as we always like to do here on Call to Action Radio. So and then I want to share at one point, as Muslims pray and fast during Ramadan, man in white appears in dreams and visions. Now, this is a story from a year ago. But this is still going on today, and I mentioned this a few weeks back at the last terror attack we were talking about, unfortunately. And I was at something earlier this year in Missouri, and a Christian man who spent a lot of years in the Middle East. Just amazing. It really is amazing what God is doing from a gospel perspective over in the Middle East. So I'm going to share a little bit of that with you today. But these two guys, two of the three have been named. One of them, Khurram Shahzad Butt, came to Britain with his asylum-seeking parents and was believed to be married and the father of two young children. He also was on kind of on the radar screen there. He was known to be giving candy to little kids in his neighborhood, trying to get them interested in Islam. And of course, his version of Islam, fundamentalist Islam. Read the books, follow the man. You're going to end up like ISIS or like these three lunatics who are now dead, thank goodness. And it's an interesting situation there in London, because you may know this already. Most of the police, the overwhelming majority of the police in London, the Great Britain, in most of their areas, are unarmed. They've been like that for about 100 years now. You know, we call them bobbies and stuff. And some of them carry stun guns, and they have the little batons and stuff. They've always, their philosophy there has always been they police by, you know, consent. Kind of consent of the governed is the mindset there, rather than by force. But they do have some police officers that are trained and carry weapons. And of course, they have special operations groups around. And that's who showed up. It took 7 minutes from the first report, probably there at the bridge, for those police officers to show up and shot and killed these three lunatics who are trying to accurately follow Muhammad. And so that situation took place on Saturday, and then, you know, Trump was coming out talking about certain things. Here's some of the tweets he said. We need to be smart, vigilant, and tough. We need the courts to give us back our rights. We need the travel ban as an extra level of security. He also said, whatever the United States can do to help out in London and the UK, we will be there. We are with you. God bless. He said also, we must stop being politically correct and get down to the business of security for our people. If we don't get smart, it will only get worse. And then and then he had some comments about the London mayor. But let's back up a little bit on the travel ban thing. He has to be very careful. This is where I get very concerned about some things that our president does on Twitter. Because the things going to the court system as often as they have been and will be, and especially going to the Supreme Court with the travel ban, quote-unquote travel ban, at play, he has to be very careful about this stuff, because these other court cases were based on things that he said during the campaign. So obviously left-leaning judges are going to look at his quote-unquote intent from the past and say, well, certainly that has something to do with the executive order that he's passing today. Even Kellyanne Conway, of course, the special advisor to the president, even her husband came out swinging on this, President Trump's tendency to say some things on the Twitterverse that he shouldn't say. George Conway said these tweets may make some people feel better, but they certainly won't help. The government gets 5 votes in the Supreme Court, which is what actually matters. It's sad. He went on to say the point cannot be stressed enough that tweets on legal matters seriously undermine the administration's agenda and POTUS. And those who support him, as I do, need to reinforce that point and not be shy about it. So that could complicate matters with the Supreme Court and the travel ban from these known extremist areas, which I think is a good idea that our president has. But we'll get into some more details of this. Theresa May's comments, the mayor of London's comments, and so what Jesus is doing over there. We'll be right back. What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Unfortunately, having to discuss another fundamentalist Muslim attack on the West. And let's all remember that they're killing way more Muslims than they are anybody else, which is, I don't think we talk about that enough. And I certainly in the news don't hear enough about there in the Middle East, there in northern Iraq and Syria and that area. The absolute wholesale slaughter of Christians that's been going on for several years there at the hands of these ISIS Muslim monsters. And so we need to continue to look at that and talk about that. But as these stories came out over the weekend, then there was a comment by the Muslim mayor, Sadiq Khan, of London, who and then kind of Trump kind of came out swinging at him because hold on a sec. I'm just grabbing this story. And so you know, Trump was convinced that the mayor was making a ridiculous statement. So I'll play the statement for you. But here's how Trump reacted. At least 7 dead. This was on Twitter, of course. And 48 wounded in terror attack. And mayor of London says there is no reason to be alarmed. Another tweet. He said, do you notice we are not having a gun debate right now? That's because they use knives in a truck. And then he went back to London Mayor Sadiq Khan. A pathetic excuse by London Mayor Sadiq Khan, who had to think fast on his no reason to be alarmed statement. Mainstream media is working hard to sell it. So here, I just want to play for you the full Sadiq Khan statement, which isn't very long. It's about 30 seconds. So this is what he was referring to. So I want you to listen to this. And then let's decide, was the president accurate in his attack, so-called attack of Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London?
In London, is there a way?
Well, just like terrorists are constantly evolving, finding new ways to disrupt us, harm us, attack us, the police and experts and all of us are finding new ways to keep us safe. Londoners will see an increased police presence today and over the course of the next few days. No reason to be alarmed. One of the things the police and all of us need to do is make sure we're as safe as we possibly can be. I'm reassured that we are one of the safest global cities in the world, if not the safest global city in the world.
Okay, so there he's talking about, okay, there's going to be an increased police presence all over London, obviously, and not to be alarmed by that. Not to be alarmed. He didn't actually say by that. Not to be alarmed. And so Trump jumped on that and was basically hammering him, saying, what do you mean don't be alarmed? That's ridiculous. The people that are trying to attack Trump on this one are saying, no, he took it out of context. What the mayor was saying is don't be alarmed by the fact that there's an increased presence, a massive increased presence, I would assume, of police in London. To which I would say, how can that not be alarming? Right? If all of a sudden, I live here in Raleigh, North Carolina. If all of a sudden there was some kind of terrorist attack in downtown Raleigh, God forbid, and it's only God's grace and the excellent work of our security forces and national security and the FBI and the CIA, despite all their leaking and other problems, that this hasn't happened. But if it did, and all of a sudden there's an increased police force all over the city of Raleigh, and somebody says to me, don't be alarmed. I mean, on one hand, I know, hey, don't be alarmed that there's a bunch of police out there, but I have to be alarmed because there's a bunch of police out there and there's a reason for it. So, of course, the liberal left is attacking Donald Trump, thinking he pulled it out of context. And originally when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, maybe he did. But then I listened to it several times and I actually took a few minutes to stop and to think and to use some discernment and some critical thinking. And then the statement, don't be alarmed. In any context, at this point, 2 days after another terrorist attack in London, is stupid. Of course, be alarmed. Maybe try not to be fearful. Do not panic. But don't be alarmed. That's kind of a ridiculous statement. So I'm glad that the president is willing to attack statements like that. But does it get us kind of off the main thing? Yeah, I think that's a sidestep. Not he didn't do that intentionally. I just think that. That's a side issue, but that's where the left loves to attack him because he uses Twitter that way, and it kind of gets us off the main issue, which I want to go to Theresa May. This is, of course, the British Prime Minister, and some things she said regarding the attack in London and 4 points that she thinks they need to work on. And some of this is rather controversial and not very politically correct at all, and a couple things are ignorant. So I want to play them for you, and we'll kind of pull these apart together as we go through them. So this is Theresa May just today from London talking about Saturday's attack.
In terms of their planning and execution, the recent attacks are not connected. But we believe we are experiencing a new trend in the threat we face, as terrorism breeds terrorism, and perpetrators are inspired to attack, not only on the basis of carefully constructed plots after years of planning and training, and not even as lone attackers radicalized online, but by copying one another and often using the crudest of means of attack.
And, of course, that's the season we're in now, unfortunately, where you've got kind of copycat fundamentalist Muslims seeing what their brothers in arms are doing in other places. So now it's vans and knives and blades as opposed to bombs or even guns. And so this is a very alarming new trend here in fundamentalist Islamic terrorism as they read the books and follow the man being Muhammad. And that's very alarming. Because now it's like what you can be a concealed carry person, but if somebody takes an 18-wheeler into a crowd, your concealed carry isn't going to do you a lot of good, is it? Now if they get out, amen. I mean, let's try to love our neighbor by defending them. But she's talking about something that is alarming. It's something that we need to be concerned of. And again, why America hasn't been hit? I mean, I just have to thank God for that. We certainly don't deserve His grace and His mercy and His protection on a number of fronts. But it is amazing to me that we haven't been hit yet. Then she starts to get into kind of 4 main ideas that she has, and as Great Britain is facing this increasing threat over there.
We cannot and must not pretend that things can continue as they are. Things need to change, and they need to change in four important ways. First, while the recent attacks are not connected by common networks, they are connected in one important sense. They are bound together by the single evil ideology of Islamist extremism that preaches hatred, sows division, and promotes sectarianism.
Again, they have to. They always say this is extremism, which I think gets the rest of the Islamic world off the hook. It's fundamentalism. Now, it's extreme from our perspective, obviously, but it's not extremist Islam. It's fundamentalist Islam.
It is an ideology that claims our Western values of freedom, democracy, and human rights are incompatible with the religion of Islam. It is an ideology that is a perversion of Islam and a perversion of the truth.
Now, that's another inaccurate statement, and I fear just a politically correct statement, because they have a whole lot of Muslims in Great Britain, not as many as we have by number in America, but concentration-wise, a much bigger presence there. And that whole thing that this has nothing to do with Islam. Yes, it does. They say this isn't a religious war. It is for them. It is a war. It is a religious war of fundamentalist Muslims against weak Muslims, those that don't believe what they believe that they pull out of the Quran and the Hadith and out of the studying the lifestyle of Muhammad himself. So they hate those people. They hate all the unbelievers. They hate all the infidels. And if they're feeling particularly nice, you can pay the jizya, the tax, and live underneath them. But you're going to have to subjugate yourself or convert or die. So they always want to say, hey, this is like some crazy aberration of Islam. No, it isn't. This is fundamental Islam at its worst. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll get back to some of the comments from Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, on the heels of yet another terrorist attack on Saturday there in London, very much like the previous one with the van on London Bridge hitting pedestrians, and then they went off and parked in a hot spot of town and literally came out just with knives and started slashing people and stabbing people, and then the police shot and killed these three fundamentalist Muslims. And so we'll get back to that in a minute, but that's bad news. Here's some good news. Our friends at MediShare, as always, I really hope you take the time to check that out. Over $1 billion in shared medical expenses by fellow Christians since 1993 with MediShare. Plus, you don't have to pay for things via Obamacare that you shouldn't pay for if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have a conscience and you know the word, like abortions and abortifacients, which can be provided through Obamacare. And so MediShare also gets you around that. It's really been a great blessing for our family. We've been members for about 5 years now. And I really, really hope you'll take the time to at least give them a call and check it out for yourself and see how this ministry operates. MediShare is a ministry, a not-for-profit since 1993. 855-BIBLE-11 is the phone number. 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. So please give them a call as soon as you can. 855-BIBLE-11, a super easy phone number to remember as well. Okay, so I want to get back to some of these comments from Theresa May and some of the things we can agree with, some of the things absolutely not, as the PC towards Islam in general still continues. But she did say some things that we need to take seriously, not only there in Great Britain, but around the world.
Defeating this ideology is one of the great challenges of our time, but it cannot be defeated through military intervention alone. It will not be defeated through the maintenance of a permanent defensive counter-terrorism operation, however skillful its leaders and practitioners. It will only be defeated when we turn people's minds away from this violence and make them understand that our values, pluralistic British values, are superior to anything offered by the preachers and supporters of hate.
Now, that's an interesting statement to parse when she starts talking about that, because it harkens back to some people that say, well, you know what Muslims need in order to not get radicalized, quote unquote, is they need jobs. They need economic opportunity. Now, the reality of the poor economic conditions and being kind of stuck in the ancient world, there in many parts of the Middle East is reality. And so that leads to hopelessness. And hopelessness for the devil himself is easy to prey on. And so all of a sudden, when you're hopeless, now you can start to covet. You can get angry. And that anger can easily be fed by fundamentalist clerics and imams who start saying, you know, well, hey, this is why it happened, because people from the West and the infidels, yada, yada, yada. And it's easy to make that case. So that part of it, you have to give some credence to. But to think that, hey, we just increase economic conditions and we're going to start to deal with this is also quite ignorant, because you still have around 15-20% perhaps of Muslims worldwide are fundamentalist Muslims who believe Sharia law should be instituted everywhere. And some of those people live in the West. They live there in Great Britain, where life is pretty good. There's people here in America that believe in that. There's people around the world that are living in decent conditions, but still believing in that. Because guess what? A good job and good economic security doesn't change the human heart. So the human heart can still be corrupted by its own sin and by the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so you have that going on as well. But again, I'm speaking as one that knows the scriptures and has the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I have no idea whether Theresa May is a believer or not, but she's not going to get up there and use a biblical worldview. I wish she would. I wish they all would, because it brings a whole lot more clarity. Amen. But let's go to our next comment.
Second, we cannot allow this ideology the safe space it needs to breed. Yet that is precisely what the internet and the big companies that provide internet-based services provide. We need to work with allied democratic governments to reach international agreements that regulate cyberspace, to prevent the spread of extremist and terrorism planning. And we need to do everything we can at home to reduce the risks of extremism online.
So on that one, I mean, I know where she's coming from. When there's extremist propaganda and they're using Facebook and they have websites and they're using the internet to spread that stuff. But how do you police that without policing the whole thing? I mean, I would imagine some posts, some things on Facebook, some things on Twitter are obvious. And do they have the backbone to go in there and shut those things down? I think so. But at some point, where do you draw the line? And again, once you start giving governments so much control, where does it stop? Because right now they're okay with us fundamental Christians. But at what point do they lose that? And all of a sudden, hey, if I'm telling people, yes, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you reject the gospel, you're going to hell. Now I'm a dangerous member of society, and now they need to come after me, too. I know that's on down the line, but it is something to consider. But how are you going to police the internet that way? I don't see how that's going to happen. Let's keep going.
Third, while we need to deprive the extremists of their safe spaces online, we must not forget about the safe spaces that continue to exist in the real world.
Now, this is when she starts to get a little more controversial, but this is pragmatic and I think needed.
Yes, that means taking military action to destroy ISIS in Iraq and Syria, but it also means taking action here at home. While we have made significant progress in recent years, there is, to be frank, far too much tolerance of extremism in our country. So we need to become far more robust in identifying it and stamping it out across the public sector and across society. That will require some difficult and often embarrassing conversations. But the whole of our country needs to come together to take on this extremism. And we need to live our lives not in a series of separated, segregated communities, but as one truly united kingdom.
You see, and that's a big problem they have over there. Now, she's talking about dealing with where you start to find this ideology inside your communities and rooting that out. Now, at some point, do you have to start monitoring mosques? I mean, the FBI is doing that already. And do you need to monitor what's being said there and what's being taught? In this case, absolutely you do. It's actually a dereliction of duty if you're trying to protect the people in your country to not be monitoring that kind of stuff, since that, some of that teaching is what leads to like the three guys on Saturday night that are willing to plow into innocent civilians, jump out of a van and start knifing people. So I'm glad she's bringing this up. And it is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be difficult. And you can start going down the road of Japanese internment camps, which I don't think anybody's talking about. But in terms of paying attention to what's out there in our culture and what's out there in our communities with this type of language, this type of messaging, I think absolutely they need to start stepping up those efforts to intervene and to check it out and to vet it thoroughly.
Fourth, we have a robust counterterrorism strategy that has proved successful over many years. But as the nature of the threat we face becomes more complex, more fragmented, more hidden, especially online, the strategy needs to keep up. So in light of what we are learning about the changing threat, we need to review Britain's counter-terrorism strategy to make sure the police and security services have all the powers they need. And if we need to increase the length of...
So, of course, that's kind of obvious, our counter-terrorism measures. Here's our last comment.
Since the emergence of the threat from Islamist-inspired terrorism, our country has made significant progress in disrupting plots and protecting the public. But it is time to say enough is enough. Everybody needs to go about their lives as they normally would. Our society should continue to function in accordance with our values. But when it comes to taking on extremism and terrorism, things need to change. As a mark of respect, the two political parties have suspended our national campaigns for today.
So she went on, and, you know, again, she made some great comments and talking about cracking down on the language, on the messaging inside the British society. And that's when she referenced, hey, there's going to be some uncomfortable and embarrassing conversations because they might have to question people. You know, there's talk of a burqa ban, things like that, that you have to integrate and assimilate to have a separate society inside of your culture. Multiculturalism, which is also PC, it can be very destructive, especially now. The reality is that's why the president's trying to do a travel ban. The reality is you have to get better and more discerning in vetting it out, unfortunately. And there's a whole lot of Muslims that are just kind of cultural Muslims, and they just take the parts of the Quran that are that are nice and are sound peaceful, and they just want to live their lives and raise their families and make money and go on vacation, and they can be wonderful neighbors. But how do you know? How do you know that about any given Muslim, especially when they're coming out of like one of these seven countries that has clearly been identified by the previous administration and the current one as a hotbed for terrorism? So, that, you know, this needs to be very sober-minded. But are we winning? No, things have gotten worse. And ISIS, they're not politically correct. They're not going to play by any rules. They're willing to kill themselves and slash people's throats in the middle of a hot spot in town and run into the restaurant and kill. So hopefully some sober-mindedness will become trendy here with our leaders around the world. But remember this. This was a great... Joel Rosenberg talks about this a lot. From 1960 to 2010, the number of Muslims that have converted to faith in Jesus Christ has grown from fewer than 200,000 to some 10 million people. Rosenberg, Joel Rosenberg, the author, talked about that last year. And the numbers are incredible. Visitations and dreams and visions, all that kind of stuff. God is moving over there as well. So we need to continue to pray for... the gospel to spread throughout the Muslim community. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with everybody today, and looking forward to a lot of different shows coming this week. And then a week from today, we're going to do, we're delaying a full Money Monday show till next Monday, which will be June 12th. I'll be live from, I'll be live from Landmark Capital, from David Fisher's offices there outside in the Phoenix, Arizona area. But today we have to settle for a phone call. But David, how are you, buddy? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing great, and I look forward to next week. That'll be great.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll get to see each other earlier this week, and when I get out there on Thursday, maybe grab a meal together. But after, gosh, we've been doing radio for probably coming up on, it'll be 2 years, I think, sometime this fall. So it's really been a great friendship. It's been great to have you be a part of Call to Action and help us understand these really complex issues. So always a blessing, and I do really appreciate that on our Money Monday updates, we always start with a passage of scripture, which is the most important information we can share with anybody. So today, jumping into the book of Psalms, especially given the topsy-turvy nature of our world today, we should all be spending some time in that book. But Psalm 62:6, what's that one and why'd you pick it?
Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. You know, obviously, coming on the cuspis of the Harvest Crusade, it's all about salvation and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. But also, I picked this because of what's happening around the world, especially in London. There's a lot of shaking up. And if you look at the last, we're halfway through the year, Steve, and we've had some pretty turbulent news with the administration and just in the world in general. So he's our rock in those uncertain times.
Yeah, and that should be something that we all stay close to that because, you know, I say this often, David, you've heard me say this. You know, our hearts break and we live in the here and the now. We long for and have hope in the there and the then. But we kind of live in that. We've got one foot in the kingdom world and we have one foot in this world. It's kind of the paradox of the Christian life. But even on a Saturday night when we see what happened in London, see what happened with the markets, financially, whatever's going on, we always have to remember that, hey, this is temporary, and God will come back, and Jesus will set foot on this earth, and all this garbage will be gone eventually and forever. But we need to kind of walk both sides of that aisle.
Absolutely. You know, we are passing through, but we're still here with 2 feet on the ground, and we don't want to be so spiritual that we're no earthly good because we are the salt and light of the earth.
Amen. That's right. Well, the Paris Climate Accord last week, and I think people have what now you guys are talking about money and investing and stuff. Why do we care about the Paris Climate Accord?
Well, obviously, we're exiting from it, and it's disturbing to most of the world because they benefit from our planting a massive amount of money into the system,
right?
And we really lead the charge. You know, so that's the economic news really going on in Europe. There's uncertainty, you know, and so we're getting out of that, according to President Trump. You know, on a side note, there's European manufacturers have the strongest jobs growth in 20 years. So the EU, this is coming from the EU sector. So obviously Europe is doing, you know, well in certain areas. Of course, you know, then you have to ask yourself what's real versus what's fake news and what's the assessment that they're using this growth by. So that's the challenging thing that we go through nowadays.
Well, yeah, and just kind of looking at the overall, I mean, the markets have been kind of flat here lately, down 22 points today. And we talked about this. We're halfway through the year. You said in January that, you know, one of the interesting things, a bull market in both stocks and metals at the same time. You also were talking about, hey, we're going to have a bumpy ride. And obviously, you've been right on all of that. But the bull markets, I mean, what can we expect here for the second half of the year based on the first half?
Well, the first half, just to give a quick update, is gold went up 9.2% so far, silver 8.7%, while the Dow has gone up 5.6%. So metals led the charge in the bull market between both stocks and metals. I think we're going to have still a bull market in both, a multi-year run in metals, and some sort of in the next 5 to 10 years, and a correction in stocks in the next 5 to 10 years. But the next 6 months, we're going to have a bumpy ride, just like we've had in the previous 6 months. A lot of it has to do with, you know, Trump has campaigned on changing some things, and because of his change in the way he goes about it, and the things he says in the tweets, that creates some of the bumps that creates this bumpy ride. But, you know, we have some things coming up here this week. Previous FBI Director James Comey is going to testify Thursday, and that's going to create some bumpy rides. Obviously, the Paris Climate Accord has created a bumpy ride and withdrawing possibly from NAFTA. Trump also announced today that he's going to make changes in the Federal Reserve. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of things he wants to change. You know, he's changing the air traffic controllers today. He announced early today. But the key things is he has to, you know, what he campaigned upon, repeal and replace Obamacare. That's still not done. A tax deal is not done. So those are some major things that the market is still waiting for anticipation. Ironically, a thing to note, though, that the U.S. dollar index is down substantially year to date. So that's a sign that it's not as rosy for our debt. coming up.
Yeah, that is interesting. Now, let me ask you this question. You've been at this for a long time, David. Have you seen a market that's so tied to the news of the day and kind of the news cycle that we're on this year, where its performance is kind of driven originally largely by the Trump effect, and now, as you mentioned, we have these big announcements and big initiatives. Some are coming into play, some are not. Have you seen it driven this much before by the news cycle?
No, there's a very strong tie, and I think it's just how we've evolved. You know, what was the economy? The economy is usually had nothing to do with the market, you know, 20 years ago, but now the market and the economy are almost synonymous. And so when this president has really solidified that, even more so, I think, Steve, that this present administration, I've never seen the impact, the direct correlation on what they tweet, say, or do or don't do, and it's more do than not do, as it has a very direct impact on the market. And it's kind of like society now has evolved to living day by day and what the market will do depending on what it is said and done.
Well, unless you want to become a day trader, I mean, how do we kind of deal with this from an investment perspective that you have, you know, it's good for a couple of days, then another announcement comes out, something the government has done or hasn't done. Are we And I talk about this often. Hey, this isn't our father's stock market anymore. So buy them and hold them and sitting on things for a long period of time. How are you consulting people just in terms of an overall attitude towards investing given the environment?
Well, I've day traded before years ago, and it's not something you want to get involved in. In this market, you don't want to react to what happened today, and should I make a change in my portfolio based on today? So you look at the big picture. What is the big things, which are major changes creates massive uncertainty, which will create a movement towards safety, which is usually treasuries and usually metals. This is why we saw metals go up this year, especially with a high debt structure. It also creates uncertainty where you're wondering what's going to happen. So ignore a lot of the news and just kind of buckle your seatbelt, but make sure you're properly diversified is what I'm allocating towards my advice to people.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier today, of course, the interesting market fact that gold is up 9.2%, the Dow's up 5.6% on the year. But what about debt? Do you think that our nation's leaders are ever going to get serious about this?
You know, I don't think so. And here, the most recent budget that they want to put before Congress here has a 10-year plan, Steve, of getting $1 trillion of debt reduction. And they can't even agree upon that when we have $104 trillion of unfunded liabilities. So, I mean, it's really kind of crazy when you put it into perspective. Our country's really not facing the problem. And this is why gold has recently passed there's a chart, the gold to dollar indicator, for the first time is now signaling in the last 6 years, for the first time, that the indicator is now saying a major buy in gold. So the technicals are now showing up, confirming what I'm talking about in the debt structure of our country. Next week, when we talk on the program, I'm talking a lot about our debt, and there's some reports I want to bring to the forefront on this.
Excellent. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website, as always, landmarkgold.com. Great information, great education, a wonderful staff there to help educate you and bring you along. Have questions about investing in precious metals, given the times that we're in. Their phone number also, 844-879-8882. I know you have one particular paper, piece of literature that's really helpful called Changing Directions and Changing Times. Tell us about that right quick, David.
Well, it talks about, what are the fundamentals that drive silver? What are the fundamentals that drive gold? How you roll over your IRA or 401k into physical gold and silver, and you can take possession of it. You also can do a national storage program and not hold it. So it talks about that. But then in the back, there's an area that touches on the three categories. There's actually six distinct areas in the market. So this, if you haven't heard of this three columns and you bought metals before, call my company and you'll learn. This will probably help you learn more than 95% of the people out there to see if you hit the target on protecting your money from government seizure.
Excellent. That's landmarkgold.com is their website. But make the phone call like David just said. Great information, great education. 844-879-8882. 844-879-8882. 8882, and I've looked forward to being able to say this for a while, David. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of days.
Absolutely, my dear friend.
That's going to be awesome. Okay, thanks, buddy. Thanks for your help, as always.
God bless.
God bless you, too. All right, friends, another great day here on Call to Action Radio. Get to the website. Check out the Daily Dose devotional. We're going to start talking more about becoming a sacred cow killer. It really is a great thing to do. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.